All right, today I want to talk to you about, this is still our series on peace, and we're learning about how to really live and dwell in the highest form of God's peace. The message on peace went from being joined unto the Father to where we are now in the revelation of us being the body, and the body of Christ is full of glory. And the Lord has been really, really proving that to us the last several messages. And today he wants to let us know that his glory speaks. His glory speaks. And we are not ones without voices to be able to change any and all situations, to be able to manifest the Zoe life that God has intended for all of us to live in. He wants us to understand that the glory speaks, that when we open up our mouths, he's been trying so hard to train us on a place of hearing and then speaking, seeing and then speaking. And it's not only a reminder, but it's also going to fill you with some new insights about how the glory does speak. So here we go. We have been learning about how we are his body, as I've already mentioned, and his body is full of glory. Well, today we will learn how to better function in and under his glory. He said that he gave us the body, the same glory that the Father gave unto him. Well, if we, the body, are going to match the head, it's high time we learn on how to walk. We learn how to walk in his glory. It's really important. He's not leaving us, not only as he left us comfortless, but he's left us, and I don't think the body executes enough in the place of power, in the place of demonstration. And I don't think the body is really awakened to the depth of truth of where Jesus has really elevated us to be. He said he prayed a prayer that where I am, I want them here with me that they might behold my glory. I want them to see. And when we see, just like he saw what the Father did, we will be able to do what he's showing us. And he does it. He gives us that vision by way of his rhema. When the rhema begins to open up your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that's the glory. That's the place where you can function in absolute power and authority. And the Lord wants to awaken us to this truth. He doesn't want us living beneath our privileges. He's been telling us that for a long time now. He wants us to rise to where he's really, really ordained for us to be. And it is time for us to arise to it, but it's going to come by way of the truth of his word, revealing the glory that is on us, revealing the anointing, the same anointing that he has, and it is upon the body, and it's on you and I individually, but it's, boy, does it live in a place of corporate living, in a corporate setting, that when we're in the power of agreement, one can chase 1,000, but boy, two put 10,000 to flight. And so he's revealing the way the fact that we are his body, and glory is on the body, and this glory speaks. And just a review in John 17:22, proving to you that he gave us the glory. It says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And so the word glory, we understand, means estimate, point of view, and or opinion. That's where it starts. When God's estimate or his point of view or opinion is being revealed by his rhema, you are now in the place of his glory. That as you open your heart right now and you open your mind to hear this word, what you're hearing is God's point of view. And that constitutes the glory. When you are listening to God's opinions, which God's opinions, you better understand that God's opinions are not opinions. They're always factual. Always. There's no second opinion when it comes to the word of God. It is the fact. Yeah. It is God's estimate. Praise God. It belongs. This is exactly how he views and feels. And it's always right. Amen. That's why it produces the glory. His Amen. Opinions, estimates, and point of views are never wrong. And that's why it's filled with doxa, filled with glory. All right. And that glory, his point of view, then becomes into a place of where it becomes a tangible. This is what the estimate point of view and opinion is, an inward glory, so that it can then change your outward. All right. When you say amen to the word and you got an amen in your spirit, you just received glory. And as your spirit is saying amen, the glory of God is resting inwardly. And as prophetess is written in so many of the prayers, the power from the inside will come on the outside and it will be proven. So the glory wants to move from the in to the out. And when it starts to move outward, the definition of glory, same word, doxa, it becomes a magnificence. It becomes excellence. It shows a preeminence. It gives dignity and grace. It gives majesty. In fact, it gives a kingly majesty, which belongs to him as supreme ruler. All right? It's majesty in the sense of absolute perfection. This is what starts to show on the outside. It begins right there. It's almost like grace, the divine influence and its reflection. They kind of go right hand in hand. Well, the glory does the same thing. It's an influence from the inside, and then it wants to appear on the outside, bringing everything in your world unto perfection, bringing everything around you into a place of absolute perfection. All right? Amen. It is the personal excellency of Christ. It's his personal excellency. This is what he put on you and me. The excellency in which he lives is really on us too. And man, we can change. And you're going to hear me say this a few times. We have the ability with the glory to change any narrative that's moving in an opposite way that is contrary to the way that God would want things to be. All right? It's a most glorious condition. This is what he put on us. And it is the most exalted state. That's why I say it's the highest dimension of peace. That when you start to move in the glory, everything around you, can you imagine everything around you coming into a state of absolute perfection? Everything around you, not some things, all things line up.
Yes, they do.
And it ends up in the most glorious condition. Can you imagine your whole life being polished into being the most glorious condition? Your health, your finances, your relationships, everything you do will rise to a most glorious condition. And he wants us to know, once again, I'm going to say it again, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, for the reason that they may be one, even as we are one, that we that they will function as a body. No hierarchies here. No hierarchies, but everybody being one. That's what happened in the book of Acts, as we've talked about for several weeks. Everybody was one, debt-free, healing, deliverance. Everybody was under the same anointing, the same glory. All right? So now we're going to learn today about how this glory speaks. All right? How this glory speaks. I'm going to, this note that I'm skipping over is an old note, so it's already there. I just wanted to give you the review on John 17, 22. All right. So now there are two places his glory wants to function for us. I said it before and I'll say it again. The first place is obviously in our minds, where he just, by the rhema word, takes over our minds. He elevates us into a dimension of authentic faith. And we're moving there in an authentic manner, where his opinions, his point of views, his estimates, that's all we know. We don't know any other opinion, point of view, or estimate. We live by, because God has really saturated our minds with his word. And that's what's so special about our ministry, that we are saturated with his word. His word really has final authority in all of us. Amen. It is the place where that there is nothing else to say. We all know the solution to every problem. We all know it. Everybody knows it. If there's an issue, the question arises, have you been in your rhema? And if there's an issue, it's probably because we have not been in the rhema and we're not saturated with God's estimate and point of view. But when we are, it is the place of final authority. So when we stay in the Rhema and we are doers of the Rhema, his glory is functioning on the inside of us. He establishes this point of view, opinion, and estimate. It's from here now that the glory will invade our outward living. This is where speaking comes into play. His glory must have a voice. His glory must be heard. For when it is heard, it will control every narrative.
Bless God.
So, but you have to discern, child of God, you have to discern when you're under the glory of God. When you're under the glory, Kurt's been teaching it in the prayer sessions. I've been teaching it for years, that when you're in a place of propitiation, man, not only are you in a place of absolute peace or an authentic faith, but actually he's uncovering the fact that you're in the glory. You're in the place of the glory. And the glory is what's carrying weight.
Yes.
It's what brings forth manifestation.
Amen.
I'm going to show you now here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Understanding the voice of the glory. Watch this now. We'll read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll comment on that, and then we'll go down to 6 and 7 in a moment. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." This is Paul talking.
Mm-hmm.
"Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The glory has a voice. As I stated earlier, the voice of the glory comes with demonstration and power. It comes with demonstration and power. When the glory is speaking, there's demonstration. I give God praise because don't think that it's always some great outbreak of demonstration, but the mere fact that when Evangelist Benita gets on the line and begins to declare and begins to move in declarations, propitiation begins to set in. That's the glory. That's demonstration. Then Mom or Kurt or someone will come behind and pray and set the tone and take us even in further to a place of absolute propitiation. And then the word comes and seals that off. This is
Hallelujah.
Demonstration of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The glory is in our ministry, praise God. But God wants us to recognize the fact that it's truly in the ministry. So it doesn't just have to stay on the inside, but the glory can move from the inside to the outside, perfecting everything around you. So when the voice of the glory is heard, it's heard by way of demonstration. And when you experience demonstration of the Spirit, understand that glory has been made available to you, that you can bring things into the absolute perfect condition. Somebody say hallelujah if you heard that.
Bless God. Hallelujah.
Hey, glory. So the voice of the glory always produces power and demonstration. And I'm going to show you why. You're probably saying, I didn't see anywhere where it talked about glory. Well, we haven't read verse 6 and 7 yet, so hang in there. All right, so it says here, the glory has a distinctive. It doesn't come in enticing words of man's wisdom. Don't get it twisted when someone has a eloquent speech. Don't think that you're under the glory. If your mind doesn't shift, if your mind doesn't change, if peace doesn't overcome you and propitiation become your vision, persuasion now becomes force, you're not under the glory. Just because they talk good and they can put things together and put two and two and make this scripture match that, no, that doesn't constitute the glory. The glory has a distinctive sound of Rhema. And in that sound is found the demonstration of the Spirit. The word demonstration means manifestation. There is a manifestation when the glory is speaking. It also means a showing forth. There's that word again, Elder Allison, showing forth. There it is, Evangelist Darrell. It is a coming forth. Like when the new reaches back and grabs the old, there's a coming forth. That means manifestation, demonstration is in the atmosphere. When God is reaching back in Rhema, it's reaching back for in time and grabbing the old. Now manifestation, harvest is here. The glory has that sound, that it has a distinctive sound, but there's also demonstration of the Spirit. It also means proof. There's proof. When the glory is being heard, proof, the proof of God is there. Absolute proof. All right? So now we move on. So the glory of God always puts its money where its mouth is what I'm saying.
Oh,
and we as his body have this power and authority. We need to find it. And we need to consistently use it. It is our peace in perfect manifestation. It is our peace in perfect manifestation. That when I'm under the Rhema word, we've been trained under this for so long. When I'm under the Rhema and I'm influenced by the Rhema, now I'm learning I'm also under the glory. How in the world does the Rhema constitute everything? Why? We constitute it as being authentic faith. We constitute it as being peace. We constitute it as being joy. We constitute it as being all of the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because it is God.
Amen.
It is God. And you better believe the doxa, the glory, is right there with it. Now, this glory is the sledgehammer we've been waiting on. It is the sledgehammer. The revelation or the rhema of the glory that's on this body is the sledgehammer that's ready to break all your rocks into pieces. Understanding that you're speaking with glory. If you just take one definition alone of glory, take one, preeminence. That alone, that revelation, understanding that you have preeminence, my God. What in the world could stand against you? If you understand that in Christ Jesus as his body, you have preeminence. Tell me how sickness can rule your body. Tell me how lack and debt, not enough, can rule your situation. It can't, because of the rhema of you having preeminence. And God wants you, he wants that downloaded in your spirit. He wants it downloaded in your soul. That he said, the same glory that you have given me, Father, I have given unto them. Well, let this glorious voice be heard. Let it be heard. When we speak from the glory, we speak the wisdom of God. All right? Listen to what I'm saying. When we speak from the place of glory, what is the place of glory? Being in and controlled and influenced by the Rhema word. That's the place of glory. So when we speak from here, we're speaking the wisdom of God. And don't sleep on wisdom. Watch this here. It says in verse number 6, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Listen to verse 7. This is what tied this Rhema together for me. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. When Elder Donna was going forth and came off the pages and didn't even touch the pages, she was speaking wisdom. The wisdom of God was coming out of her mouth as Evangelist Benita was declaring, and as the Spirit of the Lord took over, and as he takes over, what you're doing is you're speaking the wisdom of God. And the Lord said that this wisdom was ordained unto our glory. Whenever you're captivated in the Rhema, whenever your mind is saturated in the Rhema, whenever you're speaking the now Rhema, you now have the ability to release glory because you're captivated under the wisdom of God. And the wisdom was ordained unto your glory. Watch this. Now, the word wisdom means skilled. It's where you become an expert. When you're captivated under it, and you're moving in the wisdom of God by way of course, being under the rhema. Now, watch this. Now you are skilled. You are an expert. God says that you've been elevated here. The Lord says that anyone who is able to hear, comprehend rhema is on an expert level. It is the highest level of all wisdom, both heavenly and earthly. All right, watch this. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Let me tie it together for you a little bit more. The word unto, you see that word unto in the notes? I bolded it out. It says God ordained before the world unto, talking about wisdom, was ordained before the world unto our glory. The word unto, watch me now, it means the point reached or entered of place and time. It means also purpose. It is the place of result. Here's that word again, to bring forth. Oh, Jesus. Wait. He's ordained wisdom, which comes by his rhema, as the point we reach or enter into the glory. Wisdom, or the rhema word, is the place in time. It becomes kairos unto us, which we already know. It's where purpose is established and results are had. It means here I can bring forth. Why? Because this wisdom was ordained unto our glory. This is where, my goodness, when you're captivated by the word, this is where you open your mouth, because you're in an expert or skilled position in the realm of the spirit to open your mouth and begin to decree and declare whatever it is that's not moving in a godlike way. Somebody say amen if you heard me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The wisdom here, the wisdom, when you're recognizing you're in a skilled position, you're in an expert position. I'm sorry to hit you here, but it's really not you, it's him. You're captivated by his word. I remember last week, and I'm sitting next to Jordan again. Last week, we were in the word, and man, Jordan was captivated by that word. For the next almost hour after our Rhema session was over, last week, Sunday's Rhema session was done, our service, Jordan now entered into an expert or skilled position. Now, he's very young in the Lord, but Jordan began to prophesy to me about things that God was going to do. And he became very skilled in wisdom. And I watched this happen and I'm listening, and the only thing I could do is receive it, because I know it wasn't Jordan, because I know how young Jordan is in God, but God isn't young in Jordan. Somebody say amen. He's skilled. He's moving on an expert level. So he began to prophesy things. He began to speak under the glory. Is anybody hearing me right now?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
That's good.
And he began to become skilled. Don't you know, when you're saturated in the rhema, you're saturated in the wisdom of God. You are skilled. You're moving on expert levels. You have the right to move in and out, to call those things that be not as though they were. You have now the right to release the glory that's moving on the inside of you, because you're so captivated and controlled and influenced by his opinion, his estimate and point of view. Now let that opinion, estimate and point of view be heard on your outside. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Use the skill of the glory that's on you, because it was ordained.
Hallelujah.
It's been ordained. Before the world was, God said, I ordained this wisdom to work for your glory, to bring you into places of preeminence, the highest exalted skill or highest exalted positions or conditions. This wisdom was ordained. And when you're filled with it, oh boy, my goodness, man, move now, that inward glory wants to come outside. So now, it was ordained unto your glory. So it is the point. You've reached the point. You've entered in the glory. You're in the right place and time. You're in purpose. And you're in the place of results. When you're filled, some of you right now, I can feel on the line, you're being filled with this. This is his wisdom. I'm going to prove to you that it's his wisdom, because his wisdom was ordained to function in the earth realm. So the power, or the spirit of wisdom, one of the seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom, which make up the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom is what moves in the earth. I'm going to show you in just a second. So when you're filled with it, because you've been in the rhema, now it's ordained unto your glory. Now glory wants to be heard. The voice of glory should be coming out of you. So when we are speaking in his wisdom or his rhema, it's yet another indication that we are in a place of manifestation. His glory is ready and waiting to break out on the scene with power and demonstration. That's another part of the voice. That's another part of the voice. I was in fellowship with Elder Allison and Elder Donna last week, and in the fellowship, God revealed that the voice of the body is speaking more so with demonstration. With demonstration, because what we're doing is we're mimicking what the head is showing and revealing or thinking. So the body's voice is always coming with power and demonstration. We don't just have enticing words of wisdom coming, of man's wisdom coming out of our mouths. We don't want eloquent of speech, none of that stuff. We come with power and demonstration. That's the voice of the glory. But you recognize when you have that voice, when you've been filled with his wisdom. Sophia is her name. It can and will yield results. You're going to see the narratives change from earthly to heavenly. The Zoe life of God will replace this corrupt and vile system in which we currently are living in. TGM, please, the Lord says, don't forget to discern when you're in the height of your rhema word. You're in the greatest position of power and authority. Remember, you're in authentic faith, and as his body, you can release glory to fix and heal anything. Ah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Matthew 17 and 20, listen to this, talking about fixing anything. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and shall say unto this mountain. That's now you're speaking by way of the glory. You don't just call mountains out without recognizing you're under the glory, under the influence, under the opinion, the estimate, the point of view. Then you say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Glory speaks. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. If you shall say, when do I say it? When I'm under the glory. That inward glory that's perfected my mind, that has perfected the place in which I now stand. I don't stand in any doubt. I'm perfected inwardly. Now perfection, the glory, wants to perfect the outward. I like how Mark says it here in Mark 11 and 23. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And you already know when you're under rhema, doubt does not exist, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The glory speaks. He shall have whatsoever. And I was interested in knowing what whatsoever meant. The word whatsoever in the Greek means indefiniteness. The word indefiniteness means having no limits. No limits to whatever's coming out of your mouth when you're under the rhema word. No limits, my goodness. He takes off the limits when you're saturated in the word. He takes the limits off of you. That's the glory speaking. That's bringing forth preeminence in any circumstance you might be facing.
Hallelujah.
No limits. Now you know where to get into the dimension of no limits. You want to, if there's a problem in your home and you want it fixed, man, get in the glory. Get into the rhema word. Get under the wisdom of God. And it's been ordained unto your glory. You will step into a place of indefiniteness. You'll have no limits in which you'll have whatsoever you say. You all know Jesus proved that. Whatever he said came to pass.
Yes, it did.
Whatever he said.
Hallelujah.
Fill the pots with water. What for? You said you didn't have any wine. Just do it. He didn't even say wine be. He just said, fill the pots with water. Now draw out and give it unto your governor.
Mm-hmm.
He never even said he was thinking it. That's the dimension he's brought us into. Whatsoever. There's an indefiniteness on our lives. We have no limits, my God. Come on, the glory has to speak. It's time to open up our mouths again, True Gospel Ministries. It's time to open up our mouths and change every foul and negative narrative that's going on around us. It's time, my goodness, to step into the dimension of absolute glory. He said, the glory that you gave me, I've given it to them. They have no limits. Just as I didn't. Just as I didn't. Cast a hook in, Peter. The first fish you find, the first one you catch, there'll be money in his mouth. Go pay the temple tax for you and me. Why did that fish have money in his mouth? Because Jesus said it. He was moving under an indefinite anointing. He had no limits. He could do strange things. Pass me those two fish and five loaves. What is that amongst so many, Lord? Just give them here. When I give it to you, you give it to them. So how did it feed 5,000? Two small fish, it says, and five loaves. How? Because he said he was going to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
There was an indefiniteness on him. There was no limits. He was releasing the glory. The same glory that he was releasing is on us.
Yes, it is.
Let it have a voice. Thank my you. God in heaven, let it Thank have a you. Voice.
Hallelujah, God.
When I'm really up against it, my goodness, you better believe I reach deep inside my own spirit and I pull out the glory to change the narrative of my circumstances. My thing is balancing, not having to be up against things to really reach down deep and live in the place of glory having a voice.
Yes, God.
That's where he's calling us to dwell and to come into full recognition.
Yes.
The glory that's on me is on you. Let it speak. You have a place of indefiniteness. You have a place where you have no limits. If you're filled, even right now, some of you are filled right this very moment. You've been filled. There was a shift in your mind. There's a shift, man. Then use the place of no limits. Fix what the devil is trying to destroy. Open your mouth and change it out. You shall have whatsoever you say because you're under the glory. And the glory, when it's released with somebody that understands what he or she is releasing, will always bring proof. It'll always bring demonstration. It'll always cause manifestation. It will always give you the victory. But let the glory speak. Let his glory speak. If I were you, I'd press pause or mute or what have you and go for broke and get what belongs to you. You shall have whatsoever you say. Makofala, sinaramadoria. You shall have what whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth. Why is it that way? Because you're under his skill. You're under a place of his expertise. You're saturated. You're full of his wisdom. Oh, back to this wisdom thing. Let me tell you why it's all about wisdom. It's a very simple scripture right here, and I'm about to close. Wisdom instructs, wisdom establishes, and it appoints in the earth realm. Proverbs 3:19, part A says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." Oh, so now we go back over to what Paul was talking about. We speak the wisdom of God. Why? Because the wisdom of God is what founded the earth. So when we begin to speak under being saturated under this rhema word, don't get it twisted. I'm not giving you two different things here. The wisdom of God is his rhema. So by the Lord, he founded the earth. So he fills us with wisdom. I want to really, really describe this Holy Spirit. Give me utterance here. I want to really describe it. There's a certain knowing. When you're in the word, there's a certain knowing that you have when you just filled with the rhema, and everything you start to everything out your mouth, it's just the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom that the skill of God is just flowing out of your mouth, and you're under this unction, it is the spirit of wisdom. And he uses wisdom to establish. The word founded means to instruct. Now you're instructing things in the earth, all right? By this wisdom, you're instructing the things in the earth. We live in the earth. And so God said, I'm going to fill them with wisdom. It was ordained to be theirs before the foundations of the world, so that with this wisdom, my God, they can instruct things in the earth realm.
Hallelujah.
It establishes, also another word for founded. It establishes things where? In the earth. It'll establish for you that when you're filled with this wonderful rhema and all you're propitiated from the front of your head to the back of your head on both sides, every part of you is under propitiation. Now you have a movement of establishing. Because with this wisdom, and I know some of you are saying amen because you've experienced it, where after you get under this rhema, it almost feels like you become a prophet, but what you're really doing is speaking wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is on you.
Amen, God.
And with that wisdom, it's establishing, it's instructing the earth realm. It's establishing what needs to be established. It's appointing. Oh, God, yeah. It starts to appoint. It begins to appoint things. This was not appointed like that. That's what Jesus said to that fig tree. It wasn't appointed for you not to have figs at the time of leaves. No, that's wrong. So I instruct you, cursed. It also means to set. You set things here in the earth. So wisdom was ordained unto our glory. But the only way you tap into the true wisdom of God is by being filled with this rhema. And then you get to go off of, if you don't mind my saying so, you get to go off the pages of the word that you're hearing, because you're filled now. And you get to move around. You've enlarged the place of your habitation. Now you get to move around under this wisdom and see all the things that are out of order and start to speak. Let the glory be heard. Let the glory be heard. And as the glory is being heard, my God, there's an alignment going on. You're appointing, you're establishing, you're setting things in order. But the glory has a voice, and the glory wants to speak. I pray right now, some of you that are filled by this word, I pray you start to let the glory speak through you. Let the glory. This is it sounds like an old message, but it's really brought really, really a whole new weight behind us speaking to atmospheres. Because now you know you're speaking under the glory. So let wisdom have its way. Let it instruct. Let it establish. Let it appoint. but you know when you're filled with it. It's not being wise in your own eyes. It's not having scriptures in your Rolodex. It's being filled with the very Rhema word that he's speaking, and now you're under the spirit of wisdom. He reminded me one thing, and I'm closing. He reminded me of something that was very important, and this is old store coming into new, so this is bringing forth. This is old store coming as a result of new, so there's a bringing forth, there's manifestation, there is harvest here. A rhema he gave us a while back, he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In this particular verse, he reminded me that death and life are definitely in the power of the tongue, but the fruit of it is life. That's all it is. We have the ability to speak death to situations like Jesus did, cursing that fig tree. And it would be better for the fig tree to be wiped out than for it not to operate the way that God intended. So the life of God came up out of the death of the fig tree because it aligned itself, because it was gone. It withered away. So now everything was balanced again. So when you speak death to situations that are not right, when you speak death from the place of the glory, and you start to speak death to sickness, and you speak death to possible disease or lack and debt and chaotic things or whatever, you start to speak death, life will come in its place. The fruit that you're going to love to eat is the life that's produced by you speaking death. So now both of these, death and life, are in the power of the tongue. Both of them will produce life. So now what happens here, listen, we'll eat the fruit of it when we allow the glory to speak. If you're not feeling well in your body, let the glory speak. Get into the word and allow the glory, the preeminence of God. Let the perfect life of Christ be made manifest. Yeah. Speak death to these things. It's in the power of your tongue. And let life be produced as a result. So death and life produce life. When we speak death to negative situations, as I said, in our lives, it would produce the God life in our lives. Now that's the glory, people of God, being made manifest. If something in us is in on us, is not functioning at its highest level, speak death to it. Let life come back. But let it come by way of the glory speaking. It's where you've been skilled, and it's where you function in his expertise. Oh, God. Oh, I've been in circumstances where I had to have the wisdom of God just really there. And as he revealed what to do, I began to just believe it, and I began to really speak it, and I began to really, it carved out a place of hiding for me until the manifestation of that thing came. And I stayed in it. I didn't move from it. And it changed the narrative. Listen, when the head communicates rhema, he's communicating wisdom, which is ordained unto your glory. The Lord said, use it. Don't waste it anymore. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste the moments you're filled with rhema. You're also filled with glory. Now let the glory have its voice. Let the glory inside of you speak. Let it speak. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Some of you are changing your circumstance. I can feel it. You're changing your circumstance even right now. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're changing. You're changing the narratives. Jesus. Jesus, my Lord. Glory has a voice. The perfection on the inside of you. And that voice is going to reveal power and demonstration. Power and demonstration. You need to take it for a test drive and see if what I'm saying is true. You need to try it out for yourself and see if what I'm saying is true.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Because whenever I've needed to reach in, and I dial in, it's over. Burden removed, yoke destroyed, it's over. Now let the glory have its voice. Let the glory have its voice. A few comments here. Elder Allison, she says, hallelujah. Elder Donna says, bless God. Mm-hmm. Evangelist Benita says, we are no limit soldiers. That is the truth. And Evangelist Darrell says, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Take note of what you heard. Just don't go flying off and saying everything and anything. You know what to do. You get in that place, man, where you've been filled with God's rhema, which is being filled with wisdom, because wisdom wants to work for you. The spirit of wisdom is assigned to work for you in the earth. Yeah. Glory be to God. By wisdom, he founded the earth through understanding where the heavens made. But wisdom, according to Paul, was ordained unto you for your glory. Just be skilled. Be skilled, my goodness. You know when you're speaking as a skilled writer. You know when you're under the skill of the Spirit. You're saying things that you normally wouldn't say. And you're under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And glory is about to demonstrate its power. Well, Father, here it is. And here we are. And we're in line, we're in position for your glory to speak. I'll allow some of the glory to speak even now over every circumstance and situation that anybody might be facing on this line. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard. The skill that you hold in words and then deeds is phenomenal. So I break every deficit place right this very moment, because I understand you and I know you are more than able. And I thank you for divine interference right now on the behalf of anybody struggling with anything. There's nothing too hard for you, and there's nothing that you can't accomplish. In fact, you've already done it. So the skill that's flowing out of my mouth, let it become glory in their circumstances. Let it become glory. Let it become, Lord God, to where they're elevated to the highest level, the highest condition. And I give you praise, Father, for doing it.
Hallelujah.
I give you praise, Lord God, for absolutely expelling every plot and plan of the devil. I thank you right this very moment for eradicating completely everything that's contrary to Zoe life, to the God life, to the way that you've intended it. I thank you for divine health flowing through every person that needs healing. I thank you that their bodies line up with your body because they are your body. And in your body is no sickness, there is no disease whatsoever. You're healed and perfectly functioning. And so are we. And I thank you for your skill.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your expertise, that in prayer, while I'm filled with this rhema, in prayer, Lord, there's utterance and there's skill in this utterance. And I give you glory that it's breaking out right this very moment. I thank you, Lord God, that those that were being all plagued in their minds, oh, how they have a release right this very moment.
Hallelujah, God.
I thank you so much that the glory that's on the inside of me is speaking on the outside.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thank you that your plan of increase has not stopped. And I thank you for the full manifestation of our harvest coming.
Thank you.
Oh, it's here, Father. The plans, yes, the ingenuity of the Spirit, Lord God, the businesses that you're fusing together. It's here. Your skill is at work. You've ordained this from the beginning, before the foundations of the world, unto our glory. And being tapped into your wisdom by way of your rhema is exactly how you're going to cause it to come to the outside.
Hallelujah.
You've done nothing in the earth without revealing it to your servants, the prophets, first. There was always a voice on it. And I thank you that you've made us skilled ones to be the voice of glory. And I thank you for producing it, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Javon, I hear the Lord say, if you're on the line, if not, I believe we're recording. Javon, the Lord said that you're in a place of divine alignment in this season of your life. This is a divine aligning going on by God. If it appears to be a bit chaotic, no, it's, I hear this and I haven't heard this in a long time. It's an organized chaos that would come around you because it's all there to divinely align you in everything God has for you. You're about to see a move of the Spirit in every area of your life. You're going to see a move of the Spirit. God's going to position you. I don't know if you own a house, but I just saw, well, he's going to position you to buy. Yet if you own one, you'll be in position to buy another one. The favor and blessing and provisions of the Lord are going to divinely align everything going on in and around you. And you're going to be highly favored. The Lord has ordained this for you. You've been saturated in the rhema word, and you haven't seen anything yet, says the Lord, pertaining to what it really can do. But I'm about to show you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, everyone. There is a peace which is surpassing understanding that he's settling right now. He's setting it. And it surpasses understanding. And what he means by that is the situation around you hasn't changed on the outside, but he's changing your perspective on the inside. So now you, because you've been changed on the inside, can speak glory on it on the outside. Let glory have a voice. As he's changed your disposition inwardly, glory now will speak outwardly and change your outward disposition. I just keep hearing the word favor. Favor. Tremendous favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Evangelist Darrell, the Lord said there's sweatless victory coming to you. Sweatless victory. Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Sweatless victory. Easy victory.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I heard him say this to you too, Evangelist. He said, I said, I made it again another. I made you another. I made you another, my God.
Yes.
My temperament has increased on your life. That was me. Listen, it wasn't circumstance. It was me.
Jesus.
It wasn't situations. It was me. I've increased my temperament on you. It was me. Nothing else will take credit for me making it again another.
God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
It's been my design since I introduced myself to you. So how could anything else take credit? Just like I told Abraham, no one will say they made Abraham rich.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I say unto you, no one will say that they ever changed you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's my glory.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. That is my glory. That is my glory.
That's
mine.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God.
Hallelujah, my God.
Glory to your name.
This week, you're going to see areas, people on the line. The Lord said you're going to see areas of absolute maturation. There's a maturing in things in which you were trying to do and get done and see done. I'm bringing them to a maturation point this week. And you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. I'm establishing permanent places of victory. Permanent places.
Oh, yes, God.
I'm not giving momentary victory out here. I'm establishing permanent places of victory. I'm maturing you in a permanent place of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No limits. You take the limits off. Push those limits out of your mind. Get them out. Because I'm telling you now, there's no limits to what I'm going to do. Glory be to God. Recognize your surroundings in the word when you're filled, and let my glory have its voice. Let my glory speak. Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That was Abounding Winds, part 194. It's teaching us how to abound. Hallelujah. Amen, Jesus. I'm finished right there, Elmer.